Every first and second Saturday of the month, they will discuss topics that will affect your health and wellness. Call in with your questions and concerns to Medically Speaking. Medically Speaking is not a substitute for going to your own doctor. And now, here's Medically Speaking on AM 1310, The Light.
Good morning and welcome to Medically Speaking on AM 1310, The Light, sponsored by your Marion County Health Department. I am your hostess, Dr. Lauren Harden, chiropractor and owner of Body Mechanics Health and Wellness. This is a mobile chiropractic business and associate of Dr. Kenneth Ackles, chiropractic physician. New announcement with that. Oh. Unfortunately, we are no longer accepting new patients right now at Dr. Kenneth Ackles, chiropractic physician. I know, right? It's a blessing in disguise as he is going to be preparing for retirement. And we want to send our prayers out to the Ackles family. As I understand, Dr. Ackles is under the weather right now. So if you're listening, Doc, we are praying for you. We love you. And congratulations on, you know, getting it together and coming and ending your season. So we want to finish that season strong. This morning, we are here with this with a great topic. This month is February, and it is National Heart Month. It is also National Teen Dating Safety Month, but this week we are going to focus on the National Heart Month. And so we're thankful and grateful to be joined by a very special guest. So the topic of today's show falls under the category of cardiovascular health and wellness. We are going to be talking with a local heart specialist, Dr. Akin Akinwande, doctor and specialist at Pinnacle Heart Specialist. This is a private practice here in Indianapolis. Dr. Akinwande is a practicing physician, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and nuclear cardiology. He obtained his medical degree from the University of Ibadan, did I say that right?
You're perfect.
Yes, in Nigeria in 1984, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And he completed his residency at State University of Health Sciences in New York. Since then, Dr. Akin has held various leadership roles in his area of expertise and has become a well-respected member of our communities here in Indianapolis. We are so glad to have you this morning. Good morning, Doc. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. So as I understand, you used to host the show or do a couple shows with Dr. Ackles.
And Dr. Miller in the past.
Yeah. Awesome. So welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
New to me, but an old friend to you all. So we are so excited. We're going to be focusing today on cardiovascular health, particularly in the African-American community. Definitely want your input this morning. And so if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or if you want to just call and say hey to the doc, because I know it's been a while, you can give us a call at 317-239-1310. That's 317-239-1310. So let's get right into this, because I definitely have some questions for you, Doc. First of all, is there anything before we get started that you want to say about yourself, your practice? We should start with contact information because we're going to repeat that a couple of times. So tell us some things about yourself, Doc.
Thank you for having me, Doctor. As I said, I have a private practice here in Indianapolis, Pinnacle Heart Specialist. It's like a three-pronged practice. We see patients with all kind of heart issues. They refer to us, they're working to us, and we have a testing center, and we have specialty clinics. Our number is 317-931-3252. Our website is www.pinnacleheart.com. We see same-day appointments, we do same-day testing, and we give same-day results on the same day.
Okay, awesome. So we will absolutely repeat that information throughout this talk, this hour here. And again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, don't be scared. Don't be shy. Give us a call, 317-239-1310. Okay, so let's just talk about the heart. What are some common diseases of the heart, Doc?
Thank you so much for having me. Before we delve into it, it's just for us to remember that heart disease is number one killer in America. Is number one cause of death, is in one of the most incurrent causes of disability and loss of work. Heart disease and stroke rank 1 and 3 as cause and causes of death. The lifetime risk of a 40-year-old developing heart disease, 50% for a man and 35% for a woman. And the lifetime risk of a 50-year-old to develop hypertension is about 90%. That's very high.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the leading cause of about 100 million people go to the emergency room in America every year because of symptoms related to the heart. Mm-hmm. It's the leading cause of admission and is the most costly disease to treat in America. Mm. The common causes of death, the commonest heart disease, when you say heart disease, it means conditions that affect the heart. And number one is coronary artery disease, the number one killer. Coronary artery disease, coronary is a blood vessels that supply the heart. So due to hardening of those vessels, there'll be narrowing of the lumen, there'll be reduced blood flow to the heart muscle, and that will cause chest pain, it can lead to heart attack. That's number one. Number two, you can have hypertension. Over 50 million people in America do not have their blood pressure well controlled. That number is times 20 worldwide. And there's cardiomyopathy. Cardiomyopathy is heart muscle disease, which is the heart is weak or is too strong. And there's congestive heart failure, which is number one cause of admission in people over 65. Then the valve disease, and there's arrhythmia, irregular heartbeat. Of late, we are seeing more of what we call adult congenital heart disease. Mm-hmm. If you remember, children who are born, who had surgery as infants, as toddlers, I've now grown. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to take care of them. They can't go to their pediatrician again.
Yes.
So they are left with residual of that heart ailment that was corrected or partially corrected. So we see a lot of them as adult cardiologists. So those are basically a roundup of the common causes that we see in private practice.
Okay, And so, I've done research as well, and it's absolutely still a problem and has been a problem, cardiovascular and heart disease, for some years now.
Yeah, yes.
It's like we can't get a hold on it. It's so many. Go ahead. Sorry. So many different dynamics to it, and that diet, being physically active, that it's been hard for us to kind of crack down on.
Yes, you're right. We've come a long way. If you remember in 1955, mm-hmm. you may not remember, but history tells us when President Eisenhower had a heart attack in Denver, he was kept in Denver, ran the country from Denver for 6 weeks. At that time, if you had a heart attack, you have bed rest, they give you pain medications, nothing. And pain medication, nitrates, beta blockers, that's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
So when President Kennedy became president, in the early 60s, he called the 50 smartest cardiologists in the country and put them in a room, kind of locked door, and said that, come up with an answer before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with the idea of developing an intensive care unit. And since that time, that means you have a heart attack, we keep you in intensive care. We can study the natural history, and then we were able to formulate treatment. Today, you have a heart attack, you go home in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see? We've come a long way. From
right.
6 weeks confined in bed, no definite treatment, now 3 days, you've had a definitive treatment at your home.
Okay, right. And wow, that's soon. Look, I definitely didn't know that. I'm going to be learning along with everybody today. So then what are some, and this is actually another one of our questions, what are some of the difficulties associated with diagnosing African Americans with cardiovascular disease or heart disease?
Thank you so much. African Americans are spared from heart disease. I mentioned earlier that it's number one killer in America. Actually, African Americans have an increased risk of heart disease than their white counterparts. You know, the risk for a woman is about 50%. African American woman, African American man is about 45%. A white man is 37%, and a white woman is 32%.
Wow. So
can you imagine 50 to 32?
Yes.
Yeah. So we are at increased risk. And there are many reasons why we are at increased risk. If you look at the risk factor for heart disease, more prevalent mm-hmm. amongst us African Americans, like high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, high blood pressure is most prevalent amongst African Americans worldwide. We have the highest, worldwide. Mm-hmm. Number two, diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is almost is prevalent in our communities. and lifestyle, obesity, inactivity. So that those are the main risks. If you look at other risks like cigarette smoking, it was the main risk factors. But since this, between 1970 and 2000, in 30 years, the risk dropped about 40%.
Yes.
In Caucasians, because the first 15 years they start smoking. The next 15 years because of innovations, which we don't have as much access to.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not comfortable with hospital, with doctors since the Tuskegee, you know.
Yes.
We're still very, anxious about it.
Yeah, very apprehensive about
any medicine. We like natural. So if you look at most of the studies that have been done, we've not included as many African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that women were not included. So most of the recommendations we make were made for Caucasians,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we don't know as much about us and what to do. So those are one of the difficulties. Okay, and then awareness. Average African-American woman is more concerned about breast cancer mm-hmm. than she is about heart disease.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
And number one killer mm-hmm. is heart disease, not breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
So awareness, knowledge, not enough information. And then the medications wise, we have like high blood pressure. The high blood pressure amongst us African Americans is what we call the salt sensitive, that is salt mediated, whereas it's a different type in the Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of African Americans that I see, They come to me. They tell me that they've always been told their blood pressure will be high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means their blood pressure has not been adequately well treated. So the risk factors have not been. We have not had a lead on the risk factors.
Yes.
And the data has also shown that we don't exercise as much as Caucasians. You know, African Americans and Mexicans. We don't do our physical activity. Is not as much as they do.
Mm-hmm.
There are many reasons for it. We work harder. We have multiple jobs because we have the lower job, so we have to work more
mm-hmm.
to make ends meet. So we don't have room for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Those are part of the reasons.
Okay. It looks like we do have a caller this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right. Hello, esteemed Dr. Zara. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to add in from the DSM-4 that racism plays a lot of part in the stress in this culture and society, probably contributes some to our heart disease and some other ailments that we have. I don't know if there's some longitudinal studies about that, but I can't say for sure. But I wanted to ask you all this, and it disturbed me the other day. I was at a particular restaurant, and I came out, and I smelled the stench of marijuana in the car next to me, and a young gentleman and a young mother was smoking marijuana very heavily in the car, and they put two young children in the back seat. Mm-hmm. Do we have any longitudinal studies on the effects of second and third hand smoke on children? Because it just seems to me that it's just a disturbing trend that I'm seeing more and more of heavy smoking of marijuana, maybe even cigarettes also, but I definitely see it with marijuana around children. So I was wondering, is there any longitudinal studies, doctor, that are looking at maybe the effects of this smoking and what it's going to cause on children as far as maybe heart disease and some other ailments? Because if something needs to be done. It needs to be public service announcements or something to get people to realize, why are you doing this to children? If you want to do it to yourself, fine, but why are we doing this to children? It's just really disturbed me. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for your call.
I'm going to start with the racism first, then I'll go to your question. I did allude to it in my earlier presentation that African Americans are not recruited into national studies as much as, and also there are two reasons. One, they don't invite us. Number two, we don't want to. We don't trust them since the Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, a lot of the medications, because we have not been included in those trials, they have not been weighted towards us. Now to your question, cigarette smoking is the number one cause of coronary artery disease, heart disease as we know it. If you adjust the risk, it's about 70%. You smoke, the risk of it is about 70%. And when you start smoking, the risk starts to go down about twofold in the first 2-3 years. But it doesn't go to the level of someone that has never smoked until about 12 years. I know there's a public health issue about smoking. Even in the household, when you have children, you cannot smoke. Their children can be removed from you if you smoke, especially if you have an asthmatic and you smoke in the house. Mm-hmm. So that's there. The main risk for children really is for their lungs. Second, third, at smoking has been well documented for the lungs, not as much as for the heart. Because when you smoke it in, it affects the fibroblast and causes the reaction is more with that. And I mentioned before about smoking, for the lungs to enough, when you smoke, you start smoking, your risk of heart disease starts to go down. And this number one is actually the single modifiable risk factor that you can adjust, you can start smoking. That's the one you can control. Look at the other risk factors, high cholesterol. You need medication, you need all that. High blood pressure, you need medication. Diabetes, you need medication. Family history, you can't do anything about it. Premature coronary artery disease, that means if you have father, brother who died from heart disease before the age of 55, or sister, a mother that died before the age of 65, those are significant risk factors. But the one you can just stop, single most modifiable risk factor is cigarette smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the risk of lung cancer doesn't go away.
Right.
It's not forgiven. You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
And that you make a really good point with that. I feel like he was. We're in a society where if you see something, then you should say something. A lot of people are really into minding their own business and letting people be who they are. And you know, sometimes if you feel that a child or somebody that cannot defend themselves in a situation should be. I'm not trying to look. I don't want to say anything to have you go in and start, you know, starting stuff with your neighbors. But what I'm saying is, if you feel that there is a risk and you feel that you can help, and that the way that you can help will be receptive by the person that you're trying to help, then you should at least try. And so that would be my take on the second part of his question. Definitely. So kind of going back to diseases of the heart, and I wanted to ask one of our questions here is, what are some of the screenings available to us here in Indiana when it comes to heart health? What are we doing here?
Thank you so much. Screening for heart health, for me, it starts with going to your doctor first, knowing your blood pressure, knowing your weight, knowing what to call your BMI. You know, there's some facts that we say we should know, like your health care, your weight, your body mass index, your waist should be less for 40 for a man and 36 for a woman. Blood pressure, 120/80, and knowing your cholesterol. Based on that, we can calculate your 10-year risk of heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel some patients, when their risk is very high, we do a stress test for them. Every individual more than 40 years old should have an EKG once a year.
Mm-hmm.
If there's changes in your EKG, or if you have high blood pressure, you might have echocardiography, which is ultrasound of your heart. That will give us windows in that. And there's some patients, based on that, even though you don't have as many symptoms, if EKG is abnormal or search indexes abnormal, we may proceed and do a stress test for you.
Mm-hmm.
Of late, there's what are called calcium score. You know, you see the billboard all the place, $49. It will give you a calcium score. Calcium score, it will assess how much blockage. It won't tell you the degree of blockage. It will just tell you if you have any blockage. But we know everybody has some blockage, but just not as much. So a lot of times, if you have a calcium score, people do the calcium score and they come to me, what do I do with it? I look at it, is it mild, moderate, severe? People who are severe, we may do a stress test for them. We may treat them with medicine for cholesterol.
Okay.
So that's the essentials that we have initially.
Awesome. Okay. We're going to get right back to this information and finish this question after this break. You've been listening to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light. Thanks. See you in a little bit. Welcome back to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light, sponsored by your Marion County Health Department. And we're going to jump right back in. We were talking about, Dr. Akin Akinwande.
You're perfect.
Okay. You know, don't just let me mess it up. Please correct me.
You're doing very well.
And he is a heart specialist over at Pinnacle Heart Specialist here in Indianapolis. We were speaking about the screenings that are available to people here in Indiana. Do you want to finish your thought on that?
Yes, I was finishing that. The calcium score, while it does not tell you the degree of blockage, it just tells you if you have anything. And a lot of times we do stress tests for those people. The only main advantage to me is that if you have a stress test that's normal and in both places you never have calcium score, the target for your abnormal cholesterol is always different with a calcium score than without. Okay?
Okay. Awesome. So,
lastly, for athletes, because sudden cardiac death, about 350,000 people have sudden cardiac death in America every year, and most of them are in athletes and young people. So, and usually those patients, they need to have an ultrasound of the heart, some of them, and it's becoming an issue. Currently, we don't recommend it for everybody. But in the NFL, in the NBA, they do it for everybody.
They do.
But they do. So that's part of their combine that they do. So at some point, I see it's coming because most of them are young, teenagers, and most of them are African Americans.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, it's becoming more and more,
prevalent.
Not common, but prevalent. Watching young athletes, and imagine your child is out there playing and they just collapse. And
I never wake up.
And that's traumatic for everybody in that room, every single person in that room. And so we do need to do some more screening for our young athletes.
Yes.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you, as you were speaking about the screenings that we have, how many African Americans get these screenings? Do you see a lot of African American people in your office, or are they concerned about heart health, or are we a little too late? What is your opinion on that, Doc?
That's a very good question. It goes back to initial awareness. Like I summarized our awareness in our community that an average African American woman is more concerned about breast cancer most men are stoic. Most men think nothing can happen to them. Unless they are sent by their family doctor and say something is wrong with you. Most people don't even know their blood pressure. When was the last time you had blood test? No. A lot of people have not gone to doctors for many years.
Yes.
And something happens, you see them. So we are not aware. We think the men think they're invisible. The women are very busy raising kids and, So we are not aware. We don't seek it. A lot of time we don't see screening.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know their blood pressure. Blood pressure it's just very. Let me take a little bit and talk about screening because it starts from people from blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I mentioned earlier on, the risk at the high blood pressure, the incidence of high blood pressure. It's the highest amongst African Americans in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have good blood pressure control either, So because of that, we are more likely to have complications from high blood pressure, things like thick heart attack, stroke, heart failure, and kidney failure. They all follow it. You treat someone for blood pressure, they think it's like a flu. They don't come back, And the next time you see them, they're in kidney failure. And this is because prevention is not being done. We need to get into the habit of having a family doctor. By the time we reach an adulthood, we need to know that we need to go to our doctors regularly.
Yes, agreed. And so that kind of goes into ties into the next question I have for you, which is, what does heart health look like in the African American community? And we've kind of touched on this a little bit here and there, but so overall, what I'm getting is we need to do better.
Yes,
it needs to get better because we are underdiagnosed. So from what I've heard so far, you know, the equipment that has been used, and I remember hearing a little bit about this in graduate school, is it's hard to diagnose African-Americans because we're not being tested and we're not making ourselves available for the experimentation, for the diagnostic equipment. And then also we're just not taking care of ourselves or not taking our health as seriously as we should. Hypertension is not a common cold. It's not diabetes. It's not, you know, I'll go see my doctor, get my medicine. And then these are diseases that require follow-up. Yes.
And treatment for a long time. Like you rightly said, yes, it starts from that we are not aware. And when we are aware, like they said, that the risk of heart disease has decreased from 1970 to 2000 by 42% in Caucasians. But in the same time, it's continued to go up amongst African-Americans. I'm not sure if it's going up or because they're just being more aware, mm-hmm. you know, they're presenting themselves to hospital. A lot of it, you mentioned that it's difficult to diagnose. Mm-hmm. The pattern of EKG that was defined for Caucasians. Mm-hmm. So they see anything that is abnormal, that looks like, oh, it's a black man. They usually have abnormal EKG.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they may be having something severe, but that's a pattern. So those are part of the reasons why it let people know I'm downtown, I'm mm-hmm. available,
yes.
and I open my practice in this area so I can attend to things like that. That's one of the main reasons why I came to downtown from Southside.
Awesome. We are going to give you that contact information when we get back from this next commercial break. You're listening to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light.
Thank you so much.
Madea's farewell tour.
Hello, is this microphone on? This is Madea. This is my last time on tour. Y'all last chance to see me. That's all I'm gonna tell you. If you ain't seen me live, honey, you ain't seen me at all.
The gang's all back together again. Madea's farewell tour. Starring Cassie Dayton, David Mann, and Tamela Mann. And of course, the one and only.
Mud to the damn D-E. That's right.
Live at the Marat Theater, April 16th and 17th. Tickets available at the box office, Ticketmaster, and online at LiveNation.com.
Welcome back to Medically Speaking on AM 1310 The Light. This is your hostess, Dr. Lauren Harden, chiropractor and owner of Body Mechanics Health and Wellness and associate of Dr. Kenneth Ackles, chiropractic physician. Congratulations, Doc. We have been speaking with Dr. Ken Akinwande this morning, a heart specialist at Pinnacle Heart Specialists here in Indianapolis. Before we go any further, give us your contact information. Doc, how can we find you?
You can find me by calling 317-931-3252. Our office is less than a mile away. It's on 1935 North Capitol at the corner of 20th and Capitol. And our website is www.pinnacleheart.com.
All right. And we are going to repeat that for you guys before we go. We have a couple of, this is like my most favorite part of the show, the second half, because we get into like the action pieces of the interview where we talk about what we can do right now today to get our health and get our cardiovascular system back on track. So, what are some of the signs and symptoms of cardiac-related diseases, Doc?
Thank you so much. It's varied, you know, it's just diverse. If you look at coronary artery disease, it's commonly, you have chest pain with the exertion that gets better when you sit down. And that pattern actually was first described by Mankel Heberden about 300 years ago. He was doing autopsy. They found people with hardened arteries. He went to look at their history. He found out they had chest pain when they walked, chest pain when they went, when they sat down. Unfortunately, or fortunately, he only looked at middle-aged Caucasians. It didn't look like anybody of color. It didn't look at any woman. But today, we know that women, especially African-American, they still have chest pain. Mm-hmm. But another significant symptom for them is shortness of breath.
Okay.
Same for people more than 60 years old and people who are diabetic. Women especially complain of fatigue. They just don't have energy. they just whooped out. They're mm-hmm. just tired, you know. Those are, there are other symptoms, shortness of breath, heart failure, you have leg swelling, you wake up at night, you're short of breath, you use extra pillows, you eat, you can't finish your meal. If you think about it, when a child is sick, the first thing they give up is they can't eat because they rather breathe than mm-hmm. eat.
Yes. Yes, easy choice.
I mean, that's what kids do, you know. So as you get sick too, so if you have heart failure, your liver is big from heart failure, you eat a little bit, your belly, your stomach is pushing it, you have pain, you don't eat again. If you have a regular heartbeat, your arrhythmias, you have palpitations, you have dizzy, you collapse. We talked about hypertrophic cardiomyopathy before, mm-hmm. about patient collapsing, feeling dizzy. Those are warnings. Anybody that is dizzy needs to be looked at, because dizziness comes before you collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling dizzy, I'm just a little bit dinged. No, be checked out.
Yes.
Don't assume, because next time you might, even if you don't die, you might hit your head and be unconscious. Yes. And before you get help, it's too late, or you can just die from it. Then the valve disease, they come presently with shortness of breath, you know, or chest pain, lightheadedness. Those are the basic symptoms of heart disease that present with.
Yes, and I think one of the things that you kind of touched on that I had heard about was specifically with women. A lot of women go to the emergency room and have actually symptoms of those cardiac illnesses, but are told that they are distressed or have gas or
psychotic. Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting because that happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
It does.
Because women don't present with classic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to have shortness of breath, or they run out of energy, or they are dizzy.
Okay.
They are dizzy. They say, we checked you out. We did the EKGs. EKG doesn't show much a lot of times, you know. And they said, because of that, it's a woman presenting with this, they send them away.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, the diagnosis of coronary artery disease or heart disease is later in women.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you look at the statistics, heart disease occurs more often in men historically, but not a heart attack historically. But when it occurs in women, it has more complications,
mm-hmm.
and they are sicker, and they don't get it. It takes them a longer time to recover because the diagnosis is much later.
Right. A little too late.
They go to hospital like 2-3 times, or they are left in the emergency room for like to ponder and wait away until the blood result comes back. Whereas in men, because their presentation is a little bit different, it's more typical.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said originally, the guy who described it 300 years ago didn't look at any man, any mm-hmm. woman. He only looked at middle-aged Caucasians.
Right.
Not even people more than 60 years old.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so just being aware of those symptoms that the doc mentioned, if you have any, you should definitely make an appointment with him. His number is 317-931-3252, and they are located at 1935 North Capitol, right?
Yes.
All right, we're going to repeat that for you a couple more times in this next 15 minutes. But we want to talk about, how do we strengthen our cardiovascular symptoms? What are some ways that we can kind of start small or large?
There are three basic ways you look at it, say that: don't smoke, exercise regularly, and eat good food.
Okay.
And when they say exercise regularly, a lot of people come and say they exercise for 30 minutes three times a week. Unfortunately, for me, that's for 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
For adults, I like to do about 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the exercise I like, you can dance. People even do dancing. You can swim, you can run, you can do treadmill, you can jog, you can do elliptical. I like to do more of that aerobic exercise than weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
Because weightlifting raises blood pressure, puts stress on the heart.
It's true.
So I like to do people with heart disease, I like to get away from weightlifting. But mm-hmm. most people, most people at least 70-30%.
So, yes.
Yeah, 70% of aerobic. And when you say good food, you know,
yes.
You avoid saturated fatty acid, cream cheese, butter, you know. You go more of olive oil, avocado, nuts, you know, they contain unsaturated fatty acids. That is better for the body.
Yes, that Mediterranean diet.
Yes. Yeah. They say that if you eat, avoiding salt intake. Salt has been known to raise blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
When you by losing weight, losing 1 kilogram, you lower your blood pressure by 1 millimeter of mercury. You know. I mean, a study was done in California and found people who stopped eating at 5 p.m. Lose about 50 pounds in 6 months.
There's your intermittent fasting. Yeah. He's naming all of these things we have talked about, just not to interrupt you, but we're talking about the Mediterranean diet. Yeah. You're talking about intermittent fasting. You're talking about making sure you have the right amount of water intake. You want to make sure that you're paying attention not just to your heart disease, but if you have some of those co-risk factors like the diabetes, like Dr. Akinwande talked about earlier, you want to make sure that you are personalizing your diet so that you are eating the right things, right?
Yes, yes.
That's very important.
Yes. When you talk about Mediterranean diet, I go more specific, fruits and vegetables are better for your blood pressure than fatty foods,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if you look at it, look at non-human mammalians, their LDL cholesterol is 10 to 6,
mm-hmm.
10 to 60, and they don't have coronary artery disease. But when they are fed with fatty food, their cholesterol goes up and they have coronary artery disease.
Right. It's that simple. Now, I do have a question from Facebook for you. It's a good one. It says, I heard that drinking a glass of wine a day is good for your heart. Is that true?
That's very good. It's a very good. Let me go to history and I'll answer you. Actually, I did a study when I was a fellow, when I was training at University of Wisconsin. We picked some dogs. You put a tube down their throats and you collect their blood before and see how well they aggregate together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put three sets. One got water. One got dark ale, beer, and uh-huh. one got light ale. The ones with the dark ale, their blood stuck together the least.
Okay.
So, yes, alcohol can raise your blood pressure in heavy drinkers,
mm-hmm.
but moderate drinking is good. But moderate drinking has to be moderate. A glass of wine is all right, but don't let a glass of wine become a bottle of scotch.
Right. That's daily advice. Yeah. Like, you know? And so is it a specific type? Because I've heard that it's the darker, drier wines that are better for heart health, the ones that nobody's really drinking because the sweeter ones have a lot of sugar. And so you have to be aware of the sugar in your fluids.
The darker the wine, the more of flavonoids in it. Mm-hmm. And flavonoids are antioxidants. So white wine does it too, but red wine just happens to be better.
Okay.
You know, white wine, a glass of red wine, white wine, they're good based on your preference, but red wine, from our study, still seem to be better. And from national studies too.
You know, as a Christian woman, Doc, I will say I'm not surprised because the first miracle was what? Water to wine. So how could it not be good for your heart? That's right. How could it not be good for your heart? I know. I tell you. It was written. Well, that's awesome. Doc, can you give us your contact information one more time?
My number is 317-931-3252. In addition, we take almost all insurance policies.
Yes.
We have payment plan for people who are self-insured, who are paid cash, you know, can afford everything. I say, again, we do same-day appointment, same-day testing, and same-day results.
And so if you're unsure, the moral of that story is just call and ask or come in and try because it sounds like they will work with you because your health is the most important thing. And that's one of the things all the doctors that I bring on here, I want to make sure that they are for the people it's important that we're not over-prescribing, that we're doing the things naturally as well as medically to help people get better, because we're a team of your healthcare providers and specialists. And with that being said, I want to announce that this month we'll be having our Therapy After Hours community service over at First Baptist Church North. That's 880 West 28th Street. First Baptist Church North, 880 West 28th Street. And that's February 16th, 2016, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is a free event, admission with donation of food or canned food or clothing for a Dorcas room. Or you can leave a monetary donation if you have it. But we want you to come in, and we'll be providing some healthcare screenings. I believe Doc and Pinnacle Heart Specialists will be there.
Yes.
Body Mechanics Health and Wellness will be there doing spinal screenings and assessments. And so you could come in, and you can get assessed for free. So you have at least an idea. These are some of the exams that we were talking about earlier in our conversation. Even just knowing your blood pressure, that's very, very beneficial to know what needs to happen next in your body. Agreed?
I agree.
Absolutely. And so if you have time and if you want to come out and get some of these healthcare screenings, talk to some of these providers. We will also have Phoenix Family Services there to help with whatever family and social services you might need. They will be, I'm not really sure what I should know what their assessment or their service, free service is, but I'm not really sure. Stay tuned and look on Facebook for announcements with that. I will post the flyer as well, but I hope to see you guys, and I'm going to talk to you more about it next week, February 16th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at First Baptist Church North, Indianapolis, 880 West 28th Street. So back to Medically Speaking, we want to thank you, Doc, for coming out and hanging out with us. This was some great and vital information that we got from you today about our heart health. And with February being Heart Month, we just had Go Red. I think I saw so many people posting pictures of themselves in red. And, you know, this is another way that we are going to be walking like we talk, right?
Yes.
Do you have any a take-home message or any information that you want to leave with our listeners?
Eye disease is the number one cause of death in America. And I want everybody to know they should take care of their heart. Our tagline at Pinnacle is for healthy hearts. That means if your heart is not healthy, we make it healthy. If it's healthy, we keep it healthy. So you don't have much to lose. You don't have anything to lose. You have a lot to gain by calling 317-931-3252 and ask to be seen.
Yes, absolutely. And so this has been a very, very informative show. I want to just highlight some of the things that we were talking about. Coronary artery disease, number one killer in America. So heart health is extremely important. Know your signs and symptoms. You can Google them. Don't stress yourself out on Google, but you can Google if you think that you have a problem. You can come here. You can go to North Capitol and see Dr. Kimwanda and his specialists, his team, to find out exactly where you are. But knowing where you are on your health spectrum is extremely important, and especially when it comes to the heart, because if you have heard and have listened today, oftentimes we are too little too late, right, Doc?
Yes.
What do you think?
Usually they say time is myocardium. That means if you have a heart attack, the longer you wait to get a hospital, the more severe the heart attack will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 6 hours, the muscle is dead and can't be recovered.
Absolutely. And if you think about your typical signs and symptoms that people look for when they are having a heart attack, which is usually one of the main things that individuals are worried about when it comes to heart health, even though it is not the number one killer, ironically, we only mentioned the tingling in the left arm once. There were tons of other signs and symptoms before that even happens.
The chest pain radiating to the arm with tingling sensation, nausea, vomiting, not feeling well, just cold sweat. Those are all the symptoms that could happen. If you feel any of that, 911 is easy to call, and they'll be taken to the emergency room.
Absolutely. And so if it feels off, then it might be off, and it certainly does not hurt for you to check and get a second opinion from somebody that has studied and that is invested in making sure your heart is healthy. It looks like we have one more. Do we have another caller? We have one more caller this morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for that information. But I got another tip for you. Laughter is good medicine.
I know that's right. Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm 75 years old. I do take, where I live, they take our blood pressure. I always have excellent pressure.
That's a blessing. I'm proud of you.
And it runs through my family, heart disease. But I made up my mind that I would change my habits years ago, and I would not have it, and my children wouldn't have it. And so I made sure that they didn't eat certain foods, and we just try to take care of ourselves. So,
That's awesome.
I do love your information, and would you give that address again? Let it come down in my heart.
Yes, ma'am. Of
God
course.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for calling. The address is 1935 North Capitol. It's less than a mile from the station. And we're on the second floor of 1935 North Capitol. Our telephone number is 317-931-3252. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you so much. That's awesome. Yes. And then to have that, to make a decision, listen to what she says. Yeah. She is intentional, and she was intentional about the life that she wanted to hear and the longevity that she wanted to have, and built that for herself. Yeah. It takes a lot of discipline, but
and
once you get in the habit, it's not, yes, it flows and it feels right.
Right.
Correct. Do you have a lot of patients that are able to make a successful change with the diet?
Yeah,
and
like we talked about blood pressure earlier on, there are multiple stages of blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And for what we do, the first thing we do is lifestyle modification. Give up smoking, reduce salt to give it up, reduce alcohol intake, and exercise regularly. Avoid late night meals. Avoid in between meals. In between meals, you have breakfast, you come to work, you see morphine, you grab it. By doing that, you could lose about 30, 40 pounds, and that could translate to your blood pressure, it could have about 10 to 20 millimeters of mercury. So people with pre-hypertension or stage one, you can get away by lifestyle modification and don't use any medication.
Yes, absolutely. So there we go. That was a good wrap up in like the last 5 minutes of what we've been talking about this show. We are definitely going to have you back, Doc, and we're going to talk about more about the heart on a different occasion next week.